Hey, what's that? A plane in the sky? Hey, it's Jenny Durkin waving at us. She's on her way to Texas to agitate and virtue. Hey, she's virtue
the best
signal.
Week.
Call 911. I'm the police.
I assume it was not a common job.
Amazon is ISIS.
Say exactly what you think.
No attack! No attack!
As a city, we have no plan.
Michael Medved, what say you about the illustrious failed mayor of Seattle following in Jay Inslee's footsteps and stepping on a jet plane?
Who's paying for the jet plane?
Well, she says she's paying for her own way, but she's not paying for her security detail. Not clear yet if she is taking any time off, official time off. Probably not paying for her own PR in this, but she says she's paying for her plane ticket.
Well, we should welcome as much time off as she can possibly take.
That's one view.
And no, there's no doubt. It is extraordinary. In other words, if the taxpayers of the city of Seattle are required to spend thousands of dollars to transport her security detail with her to this showboating trip to Texas, there ought to be somebody who actually raised some questions about that, about getting reimbursement.
Yeah, but we don't really do ethics in Seattle. I don't know if you saw this. This news just broke. You know, our illustrious, now admitted socialist on the Seattle City Council, the Bhagwan Shri Sawant. Actually, someone said the other day, I should say the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant. The Bhagwan...
Shri means honored, right? Doesn't it mean
I think
esteemed?
Bhagwan means honored.
Well, I think Shri means like it's like high holy days. It's like you're right reverend.
Yeah, and Shrill, I think, matches her personality and her style of speech. Yeah. Bhagwan Shrill Sawant, the Ethics Commission of the Seattle City Council has come back and said, no, it's okay. She can use city resources to create the $15 per hour now sign and the attack Amazon signs. That's perfectly good to use city resources on that. The ethics board said she's not in trouble at all. So we don't really do ethics here.
Again, it is so ripe for a citizens' revolt. It really is.
It's starting to happen.
I hope so.
You have been paying attention to these series of attacks in our area. And I know that you and Diane, you like to walk our city. You like to go to our beautiful parks, etc. Over the weekend, two attacks. Did you see Jenny Durkin when she, Cairo 7, had her walk past the homeless mansion? So they had her walk past it, where they now have a keg of beer, Michael. Now, do you still drink beer?
No.
You don't. So you're done with beer.
I am. I don't drink any alcohol.
So she walks past that with a keg of beer where they're known to go out and grill steaks, and she says we need beds. They have beds. They've got five bedrooms.
Which homeless mansion is this?
This is the one down by Seattle Center. Right?
Oh, I see.
This
is
the weekend after the attack. The guy tried to choke the guy with the rope.
Correct. It was well deserved because the guy was dating Ellen DeGeneres, and you know he was underage.
Yeah.
He was only 14, and he didn't realize that Ellen was engaged to be married to this homeless guy, Mr. Person.
Right. We have been on a quest. Now I know that you are a deeply compassionate man, but let me ask you if you agree on the importance of language as we refer in our city to, I think there are three populations. There are homeless people. These are people who have, in fact, they were a mortgage payment behind and they didn't make it. They're encountering friends who are helping them. Maybe they're sleeping in a car. They're going to get help. If it's offered them, they'll take it. That's homeless.
Right. Fair enough.
Okay. Hardcore homeless. They've grown used to the lifestyle. They don't like it, but they're reluctant to get out of it because they do kind of now it's comfortable to them. Hardcore homeless.
Okay.
Street people.
There you go.
Okay, the street people love it. They get a thrill out of stealing for a living. They get a thrill out of taking narcotics. They don't want to live in society. And some of them, and one of my listeners suggested this, but do you know that some of those folks call themselves feral humans?
No.
Yeah. Huh. So do you agree?
Let's say ones who live in Ravenna Park.
Yes. Do you agree on the construction of language that way?
Yeah, I think those are very good distinctions. I think for simplicity's sake, it's better to maintain the distinction between street people and homeless people, because the hardcore homeless almost surely verges over into street people, doesn't it? I mean, if you've been on the street for a while, and because honestly, particularly with shelters available, and shelters are available, they're great people doing great work like Union Gospel Mission and others, and the idea that there is some intermediate category, in other words, How do you go from being a hardcore homeless in your designation into being a street person?
Well, I think hardcore people, they get addicted to drugs enough that the thought of being brought inside away from their drugs becomes repugnant to them. Then I think the human psyche operates this way. I'm addicted to drugs. I know I can't go into a shelter that won't let me take drugs. I require the freedom to shoot up. I require the freedom to continue to take the drugs. I think the human psyche can say, okay, now I like this. Now this is me, and you identify, and this is your circle of people, and you've developed, in fact, some success at that. There are people who are successful at being street people. The people down by Cairo 7, if you've not seen this mansion, Michael, I'm not kidding when I tell you it's 6 bedrooms. I'm not kidding when I tell you they continue to expand, that they came here from West Virginia, that they have a fresh keg of beer. They have beer all day long at their disposal to drink as they grill steaks. They're successful street people. And I think that once you become that successful, why in the name of all that's holy would you work? Why would you go out and pursue anything hard when it's handed to you?
Well, the interesting thing about this street person who made the attack, I think his name was Michael Person.
Yeah, which you're talking about the rope attack, not the baton attack.
No, not the baton attack, not the rape in the car dealership. I'm talking about the rope attack.
Yeah.
And the rope attack on the Arizona tourist. In any event, one of the things that was striking in his bio was he had multiple assaults in the past. He was clearly non compos mentis. They interviewed some of his neighbors for his tent and said, oh, that guy's flipping crazy. He's really crazy.
Wait, yeah. So the street people are saying he's really crazy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there goes the neighborhood. Yeah. I mean, you know, in any event. Yeah. So, and he was getting food stamps.
Of course he was getting food stamps. And he
shouldn't you need to have an address to get food stamps?
Well, we can't criminalize homelessness. You didn't need addresses to vote, you know, in the magically appearing ballots, you know, for Chris Gregoire. By the way, you're friends with Dino Rossi. You
sure
admire Dino Rossi.
Much. Yes, good deal.
So Dino is running a great campaign to go replace Dave Reichert in Congress. Do you know the guy who stole the election from him is now stealing elections in Los Angeles?
Well, the Dean...
Dean Logan?
Logan, that's his name.
Dean Logan now has his second controversy down there, where he has effectively forgot to send ballots to Hispanic people who, by the way, were probably going to vote against the establishment Democrat. And darn the luck, he forgot to send these out. This guy continues to fail up. I have this question about the guys like Dean Logan and continuing to fail up. If we can't control the ballot counts, we can't get a guy like that fired. How do we get any integrity in the system? How does that happen?
It happens with tidal wave elections, with people getting involved and participating and realizing, particularly in local races, 100 votes can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
And everyone who is listening to me, everyone, can influence 100 votes. You may not think so, but think about it for a moment. Think about your mothers and your cousins, or they reckon they'll by dozens, and your aunts, and you think about your whole range of acquaintance. You may not win all 100, but you can influence 100 votes. And in many of these local races, they're close local race, it's very normal for a race to be decided by less than 100 votes. So people can make a big difference. And in other words, for people who despair of national politics, for instance, okay, fine. But local politics has to be where the change begins.
Well, and there are cracks and consistent cracks appearing here. Later in the show, I'm going to share with you email after email. Get 3 or 4 emails from people who've had the same circumstance of being confronted by homeless people, being assaulted by homeless people. They've made police reports. Their police reports never made the police blotter. And they're ready to speak out. There are other people now seeing what's going on. They're saying, oh my gosh, it's happened to me. I think there's good reason for Jelly Durka to have flown to Texas. I don't think she wants to be around when these stories start to be told, and she'll do anything. She's desperate to distract because there's nothing she can do. She can't lead. She can't change the policies. She won't be able to remove the street people. She can't stop the flow of heroin because no one on that council will do that. I think Jenny Durkin's only play is to hysterically hate Trump.
I've got a better play for her, which when we come back, okay. I would love to suggest. Actually, I think it could turn around her entire term of office.
Oh,
really?
Okay, so resigning and letting letting me be mayor.
No, as no. I think something that would even win you over a little bit.
Okay, well, we'll try to get to that. We'll also get to the breaking national news. The president has signed an executive order. I predict that by tomorrow there'll be lawsuits filed against this. We'll find out. Now, far be it from me to get out of line and start sharing a good piece of national breaking news unrelated to immigration. You want some? I got some. Michael Medved's in the studio with me. Michael, I don't know if you heard about this because there's been a few other things in the news of late. The Trump administration has created a new rule that is going to give, it's finally the ability of small businesses and groups to form together into insurance collectives.
And HMOs, which is great.
And this could be savings of $2,000 to $10,000 per year in insurance. And it also frees these groups from having to purchase the things that their members don't want.
Yeah, what a concept.
I know. Isn't that insane? That you, what are you? You're a good solid 49 years of age?
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
And are you intending to get pregnant anytime soon?
I don't know. I think it's over for me.
Yeah. You've birthed as many kids as you're going to birth.
That's right.
Well, somebody.
I don't know nothing about birthing babies, no. Miss Scarlett. Remember that?
Yes, I do. Sorry. But many of the plans still contain that. On MSNBC, related to the immigration crisis, they're already trashing this, and I'm having technical problems, so I can't play it. But Tom can probably play this clip from 3-3. They're already going after the president on his executive order, and I predict there's going to be a lawsuit on this. Here's the clip from MSNBC.
Places like the Syrian border and spoken to mothers there, and it's hard not to make the parallelisms and to look at these mothers and children as refugees who, you know, I asked them, what is your message to the Trump administration? And that mother said, we need help. Please help us.
From 3-3. So that's the one that they're making now, that this is related to the Syrian crisis. Now, I had not been paying attention as much as I should before to the show. I had a meeting with one of the program directors. I was unaware that we had started using chemical weapons on these children. And you know what? This is a red line for me, Michael. I can't support this. I'm against using chemical weapons on children.
Absolutely right. Or sending them to showers, which are actually gas chambers.
Right.
As Joe Scarborough suggested.
Now, did the president, he's against that too, as I understand.
I think so, yeah.
Didn't he go into Syria and kind of try to stop that and all?
And no, look, the entire freak out, the entire absurdity of the left on this is, I think it discredits them, and especially with the president's very timely and very appropriate change of course today. It's not a reversal, it's a change of course, because he is still maintaining the idea that it's Senator Cotton said it very well today. He said, we can't allow the fact that you're accompanied by a child to be a get out of jail free card.
And that's what it was designed to be. Look, there are people who come across the border of their own volition. They're scared to death of the violence in their countries. Their countries are falling apart. They're unstable states. There are also people who, in that process, encounter open border zealots who say, here's how to apply for asylum. The sex traffickers and the human traffickers, they know those games. They have those leaflets from the ACLU. They say, here's the language to use. And bringing the kids across as a chit, a C-H-I-T, is exactly how some of this has been described. I applaud the president for staying with zero tolerance. But, Michael, let's recall, George W. Bush was sued for keeping kids and families together in a single detention facility because it was a facility for adults.
Mm-hmm.
There are factions of the left who want this to be a topic. There are other factions of the left who want open flow. Not the entire left, not many of our friends who are Democrats, but there are factions of the left. And Michael, they run the party. In my judgment, the extremists run the Democrat Party.
Yeah, and that's increasingly the case, and you can hear that in some of the rhetoric. And the one thing, and I think it's very important that people use this in any conversations that you have with friends or people who are waiting to be persuaded, what's the alternative? In other words, okay, you don't want these kids and families to be detained. So the alternative is?
I've asked that Michael, I promoted on MyNorthwest.com, that has a balance of conservatives and liberals and libertarians, all day to take calls for one reason, solutions from the left.
Right.
I asked through it throughout my entire show. I promoted it on Twitter. I got massive retweets, massive shares. We had zero people offer solutions. Because you know what they don't know? I think so many people don't actually know what's going on. They actually think that we're just slamming kids in cages and locking them there and then laughing at them like that Corey Lewandowski did, which was so ridiculously stupid that he did that.
Pathetic.
Now, we know Jenny Durkin. She's flying down to Texas to grandstand and to virtue signal, a failed mayor. But you thought there's something that could turn her career around and then bring me to her side?
I will tell you what it is. It's simply when she comes home to immediately say, look, I'm going to go out on Saturday and Sunday, and I want some volunteers to go out with me, and I'm going to do this every week until it's taken care of. We're going to volunteer and paint over the graffiti that's so obvious along I-5 and in the corridor and in the International District, because this is not the way a world-class city is supposed to look.
So by that, you mean she'd have her people do it while she watched?
No, that she would be personally there. She would go put on her jeans, and she would go with her partner, and then a bunch of other volunteers, and the city would provide the paint, and let's take care of this. And meanwhile, it's a very strong signal, because the best way to avoid new graffiti attacks is to obliterate the evidence of the old attacks, because that's the point of honor. And then you keep painting it over and painting it over until they quit.
And that's I get it. That's the broken window theory in reverse. We start some momentum, right? But
you bet. But it would also show that she gives a darn about the city.
What if she just came back and said, we're actually going to go ahead and enforce laws against heroin and meth?
That would help.
Do you know how quickly things would change here if Jenny Durkin came back and she showed one-tenth of the anger about the gang shootings and the sex trafficking in our area and the overdoses in our area, and the needles? There's a picture, I don't know if it's photoshopped or not, of a squirrel with a needle stuck into the poor squirrel. If she had one-tenth of the anger about what is going on in this area, she would do something.
It would be very, very... Look, did you hear the story about Trenton? Did you hear about that?
Trenton, New Jersey, the shooting?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the mayor who said that this is not the fault of this guy being released early or something else.
And then there's that. But there's also the fact that it's now come out that the mayor-elect had gotten an email before the shooting saying, don't you dare go to the arts festival. They're going to shoot up the place. Now, if he got an email, why didn't he turn it over to the police? And why wasn't there some police presence to prevent it? And by the way, the point about Trenton, New Jersey, is the toughest gun laws in the country, in the state of New Jersey. They just passed a package of new gun laws. Only California has tougher restrictions now on firearms than New Jersey. And 22 people injured, 17 of them by gunshot wounds, in a gang shooting, an organized gang shooting at an arts festival.
By a guy who was released early, and apparently the deputy mayor was warned. Insane. Michael, thanks for joining us. MichaelMedved.com has all the goodies. Get some rest, my friend. Todd Herman's show will continue on AM 770 KTTH. And we may be able to play some audio for you. Ghost in the system. Yeah, it's Windows based. What you gonna do? Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. And they're already doing it on MSNBC. On MSNBC, they're already out criticizing the executive order. Already. Here's the frustration that's beginning to set in on both sides. Both sides are beginning to think we're each lying. And at the center of the lie are the people telling the lie, which is the media. Listen to this on MSNBC.
The likelihood that this order means that families will be incarcerated together, meaning the children will be incarcerated with the parents, is high.
Yeah, it's high. It's high because how else are you going to do it?
This is exactly what I predicted earlier on Twitter. The second I learned the president was going to issue an executive order, I said there's going to be a lawsuit. This is a precursor to that. And I said it would be based upon the fact that they've got to be incarcerated somewhere. We are done letting people walk in with a kid as an entry ticket. We're done with that. The president is absolutely right to stick by this. This makes me more and more excited about the thing you saw in this man. I will never be the guy who loves the president's personality. It's not me, okay? Nor am I one who looks for a great leader. I love leadership for the country, but I'm looking at an employee to do a job. But this action of maintaining the zero tolerance status leads me to love him in a way I haven't before. It would have been very easy, and it would have been the classic professional Republican thing to do, to completely fold and say, you're right, we can't do this. We're going to go back to letting the kids run into the country. We're going to go back to letting the kids go out and do as they please, and the families go out and do as they please. And that's not what he did. The executive order, as I understand the executive order, simply keeps the families together, and they need to be kept somewhere. They should be kept in a humane condition. The kids should be allowed to have some toys in there, and they're going to get them, and we should maybe donate some. The little kids need to know that there's kindness in the world, but they also need to understand there were some consequences to what mom and dad did. And furthermore, to extend this executive order, what if the president added to this executive order that at our expense, we will truck you over to the nearest border station where you can legitimately apply for asylum? What if we did that and said, or we'll bus you to the nearest city where you can go to the U.S. Embassy and apply for asylum? There is no reason that we need to say you can stay here at our expense while we figure this out. You entered our country at our expense. You can stay here at our expense while we figure this out. Because the message must be the brand must be the message, and the message must be the brand. Now, I can see how the left will twist what I'm about to say, okay? They will twist it. One of the most indelible brands in history was the pirate flag. Now, I have a book on brands, and one of the things they discussed was the indelible meaning of the pirate flag, like the indelible meaning of the Red Cross, like the indelible meaning of the Coca-Cola brand. The brand promise stood. You're on the open seas, you see a pirate flag. The pirate flag means you stop, you let us board, we're going to steal your stuff, and then if you don't fight back, we won't kill all of you. If you fight back, all that other stuff we stole from other people, all the guns, all the cannons, all our savagery, we'll still steal your stuff. We'll still hurt you. We'll still go out and harm you and rape the women on your ship, etc. We're going to kill all of you, steal your stuff, burn your ship to the waterline. There'll be nothing left. Or you can give us what we want. Now, clearly, we don't have that attitude with these kids and these families. This is not in our heart. But the brand is this. People grow to understand the brand. You open a Coca-Cola, you know what the taste is going to be. You know what the experience is going to be. You know what's going to smell when the gas pops out of the can. You know exactly what it's going to be. You drive by a McDonald's, or better yet, Burger King, because they pipe the grilled smell up into the air. You smell it. What do I smell? Oh, this donut. There's a Dunkin' Donuts around the corner. What do I smell? Oh, that's the flame broiled. That's the Burger King. You know the experience before you go into the store. With McDonald's, they put out the fry smell. You drive by, you know, oh, it's McDonald's french fries. I got to get some. With our brand, it has been get your foot on soil. They can almost never get you out. That's been our brand. For 60 years, that's been our brand. Then the brand became, okay, they're starting to catch on to that. They're starting to push back a little bit of that. Take a kid. Take a kid with you. That became the brand. Once you got a kid, you're good, because Americans, they're kind. Americans are philanthropic. Americans know they have the capacity to help the world. They know they have a history of helping the world. We know these things. That became the brand. The brand now needs to be this, and it needs to be it indelibly and permanently. It needs to be communicated. You will not get asylum entering the country illegally.
Here are the places you can apply for asylum online. Now, your country may not have that because you're probably coming from a fallen country. At an embassy, the United States Embassy, you can apply for asylum at an embassy. At a legitimate border crossing, you can stand in line. When you come to enter the country, they ask you, may I see your passport? I don't have one. I'm here to apply for asylum. Okay, here's a form you can use to apply for asylum. You're going to wait over there while we review it. And what that will do is decrease the scams of asylum. It'll decrease the people who are using asylum to scam us to get into the country because you change the return on investment scenario. You change the risk-reward scenario. Right now, what's the risk? You cross the border, you get thrown into a cell for a little while, you get sent home, you try again a few months later. The big risk is the desert. The big risk is the coyotes. The big risk is sending your kids up in car trunks, as the director of ICE spoke about today. The inhumane action is undertaken by the human traffickers, locking people in trunks, in closed box cars, in trucks with no air conditioning and no venting, and people die on the way. That's the inhuman act. But our brand needs to mean, no, we said there's no amnesty when you sneak across the border. It will not be processed. Your claim will not be processed. You'll be sent back, or you'll be sent to an official border crossing, or you'll be sent to an embassy. You can choose. You want a border crossing or you want an embassy. We'll even pay for the trip. Once we start doing that, the whole scenario changes. You do that for 5 to 10 years, and everybody knows you do that. There are countries you don't sneak into. Would you sneak into Iran? Well, first of all, why would you want to right now with the mullahs in charge? But would you sneak into Iran? You understand that. Would you sneak into China? I wouldn't sneak into China. I understand the brand of the Chinese government. They run, they'll sell your organs in some of these prisons. I don't want to go through that. I wouldn't sneak into Mexico. Now, Canada, that's a different matter because they put vinegar on the fries and it's not a real country. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't sneak into Canada. Because for me, the risk reward is high. But America, it's been nothing. So I'm thrilled that the executive order stands by the zero tolerance. It moves me towards a different appreciation for President Trump. This was hard for him to change directions. It's hard for our president. But he did not cave. He accommodated. Now, let's see if Chuck Schumer will accommodate. And let's see if I'm right. I say before Friday, there's a lawsuit filed against that executive order. Let's see if I'm right. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show, get into just a few more things every so often. Oh, I don't know if we're going to be able to do just a few more things. Oh, you think? You're betting on it, huh? All right, big time. We'll see if we get to do just a few more things because the computer's been acting up all day long. Sometimes a theme emerges. This time it does, and the theme is, wow, remember when the Democrats said something different about borders and such? Oh, the times, they haven't changed, haven't they? Haven't they, Jess? Let's roll into
just a few more things.
Oh, it's so nice to hear you, computer voice. I haven't got to hear you all show long. Just a few more things. We take news like items, slice them and dice them, and then number them.
Thing one.
And today there's a theme beginning with the President of the United States.
We'll get the world done.
You know what? I sincerely hope you do. I am so thankful for the President standing and not caving to this emotional blackmail that the left has constructed and orchestrated. It has been brilliantly done by the mainstream media. They invented the news story. They ran the old pictures of Obama and what he did with kids, not thinking that we would catch that they were old pictures. That was the beginning. Then the media said, oh, look, a story. Oh, this has just happened. And then the protests and the media reports on the protests. Oh, look, people are protesting. Wow, this must be big. It must be organic. But the times have changed, haven't they?
Thing two.
There was this feller. We called him, some people called him Barry. Others called him Barack Obama. Joe Biden called him a BFD. Back in 2005, way back when the dinosaurs were still becoming oil.
We are a generous and welcoming people here in the United States, but those who enter the country illegally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law, and they are showing disregard for those who are following the law.
And that's why I have decided to stop executing the laws related to Hispanics, 1834, who are likely to vote Democrat. Times have changed, haven't they? And if you're an Hispanic listener, please don't be confused. They simply change where they put you on the chessboard. That's it. Simply moved you from one square to the next. Next step, just a few more things.
Thing three.
Oh, predating Barack Obama. There was a guy they called William Jefferson Blythe Clinton III, also known as Slick Willie. From time to time, he would take time off from raping women and abusing interns, and he'd get out and he'd give himself a finger-waving speech to the American people, he would.
We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop.
Yes, and I didn't. I didn't. I got really busy. I'll tell you, she was just so pretty in that blue dress. I was thinking about immigration, fixing that, and then she came in and said, I was falling for her. I thought, I got to resist. You know, she's only 19 years old. But then she brought in that pizza. She brought in those donuts. I'll tell you, I just melted, so to speak. Times have changed, haven't they? So we continue with just a few more things.
Thing four.
Dianne Feinstein just announced she now wants to ban ICE from enforcing immigration laws 100 miles in from the border. At all. But way back in the day, when Dianne Feinstein was a young and spry 89 years of age.
The people who should be here are those who come legally at this time. And we've got to, for the time being, enforce our borders.
Now, the Freudian psychology of that clip is really interesting. Turn up the radio. Listen again.
The people who should be here are those who come legally at this time.
At this time.
And we've got to, for the time being.
For the time being.
Enforce our borders.
For the time being! At least somewhere in her, there's a conscience. Last step, just a few more things.
Thing five.
There is no conscience in this guy. Conscience in this guy. Grifter extraordinaire. The guy who lost a fight with an exercise machine. Well, I think he was beaten by people to whom he owed gambling debts. Harry Reid.
In many parts of the country, Mr. President, we actually make it easy to be an illegal alien.
Oh, the times have changed. What changed? Was it the morality? Suddenly it became moral? Suddenly it became legal? Suddenly these deeply held principles were no longer deeply held. Or did the election math change? Or did the SEIU's checkbook change? You will not believe Sleepy J. Inslee's pandering, but I will provide it next in the Todd Herman Show.